Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center right here in the heart of Intentional Life Media and Family Life Radio. Dr. Andy Carlson here along with our team. We love you guys, and I get a chance to spend 28 minutes with you just to talk about things that matter in our lives and how we can take God's Word and apply it intentionally into our life so we can have less regret, more joy, more peace, more freedom in a world that's gone crazy. And followers of Christ, we should be experiencing those things in our life every day. And we want to help you move in that direction. I do too. I want to move in that direction. And I've learned that living intentionally makes a difference. So today we're gonna camp around the topic of parenting, in particular about you and your kids, maybe the little ones, but we got some questions coming in from teenage issues and a few adult child questions as well. So I'm going to open the phone line to you and love to have you call 888-888-1717 if you have a question, maybe something going on in your home. Let me just be honest with you when it talks about I want to be honest with you when you call in, because I just want to tell you what the Bible teaches, and I'm just going to tell you what I've experienced in working with people over the last 30-plus, 40-plus years, and let you see that there's a way that you and I can live our lives that bring glory to God and benefit to ourselves and to our kids, and that's really what we want to do, don't we? And so, if you want a friend, someone who's going to speak the truth in love, give me a call. All right. Let's get going here. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. Let's go first to New Mexico.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Kimber from Albuquerque, and I have an 18-year-old daughter who now has an 11-month-old son, and the father of the baby passed away last October. So I am at a loss. She tells me she's an atheist, and she lives in my home. And it's just really, really hard to deal with. Any hope or suggestions would be just much greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I hear your heart, Mom. Listen, she's a kid. She's 18 years old with a child and a loss of a husband, which makes me wonder how that all came down. What's going on in that part of her experience? So she's probably going through a pretty tough time, and she's bringing it and dumping it on you. That's not fair to her, you, the child, and to making life work as it's supposed to be. Just a couple of comments, Kimber. One is, she's a guest now. She's 18 years old. She's a mom. She's made decisions. She's a guest in your home. And what you need to do, this is really critical, what you need to do with that 18-year-old daughter of yours is to have an expectation reset. Because she has certain expectations. Your mom, I can dump on you. I can be who I want. I can tell you how I live. I can live the way I want to live. And because I'm the kid and you're the parent, and that's what you're supposed to do. And that's probably what's going on to some extent in her life. We need an expectation reset. Honey, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm sad that you've made a decision to reject God, because all the stuff you're facing, boy, he loves you and he'd be a big help. And I'm going to pray for you. But at the same time, we're going to hold you accountable. This is the way it's going to be in my home. You're a guest here now. I want to help you. I want to help the grandchild. I can do what I can. Can't do everything. These are three things I can do, and here's four things I expect of you. And be very clear, and then hear from her. Can she do those things or not? Talk about it. But be very clear, you're a guest. This, you know, I'm not here just to serve you. I'm your mom. Yes, I get it. And I want to help with the grandchild because I know there's a need. But we're going to have an expectation reset. And if she says, hey, blow it out your ear, I'm not interested, then she's got to make a decision. Does she want to be in your home or not? What complicates this, and I've talked to so many over the years, is the baby. I mean, that just adds so much complexity to, you know, saying to an 18-year-old, there's the door. Because she goes out with that baby. And of course, that raises all sorts of other issues. And I get it. And at times, we have to bend over a little backward. And we have to give a little bit, negotiate a little bit. Because ultimately, we want to make sure that that child's being provided for. But I will tell you, on a principle, you're a guest. We got to have an expectation reset. I'm praying for you. I love you. But it's not going to continue the way it is now. Yeah. All right. I think we got another call coming in from Arizona, sort of along the same line. Go right ahead.
Hi, Hi, my name is Jessica from Glendale, Arizona, and I am calling in regards to my almost 18-year-old daughter. I am a foster adopted mom. I have three children from 8, 5, and 3, and now they are 17, 14, and 12. And they are amazing children, but my 17-year-old, who is almost going to be 18 next month, is very much struggling with boundaries and has boyfriend issues and all of those kind of things. I've set up boundaries with her, and I have given her a contract. I, for example, she stayed out late one night, and she was driving my car, so I took away her car privileges for a period of time. But she is threatening to move out and doesn't like my rules and doesn't like my things. How do you parent a child that had a really rough start, and I've adopted her and everything, but how do you parent a child that's almost an adult? Do you let them do things when they're adults, even though they're living underneath your house? She's still a senior in high school. And I would just love some advice for that.
All right. Well, Jessica, the answer is no. You don't let a teenager or anybody, frankly, do whatever they want under the roof of your house. The emphasis there is it's your house and it's your roof and you're paying for it, all right? But seriously, this is a transitional time, 17, 18, 16. You know, this is a time where young people are trying to get their footing, find out who they are, and sometimes they extend all the way into the 20s. We got 25-year-olds that are acting like 15-year-olds. So there's this passing of the baton, if you please, from one generation to the next. That can be very difficult, and that's what you're in with this child. And I understand she had a tough start, but that's not an excuse to change the expectations you have and how the home is going to run. In fact, if anything, you need to be clearer than ever on the expectations you have. Honey, I know you've had a rough start, and I know you're trying to get through this transition in your life, and hey, you're going to be 18 in just a month, and I know you can make all your own decisions, and hey, honey, if you choose to leave the home, I you know, that's your decision. I don't understand how you're going to do that. I mean, pay for it and all that. Maybe, you know, that'd be interesting to hear. But, you know, it's a decision you can make. What we do so often with young people, young adults, is we take ownership as a parent, or sometimes as a grandparent, if you're stepping in as a parent with that young adult. We can step in and start taking ownership of things we have no business over. We need to keep it back in their court. I'm here for you and I love you. And these are kind of the boundaries that we have and expectations I have. And would love to support you. But honey, you've got to make a decision. You know, I'm not going to force you to stay here. We want to help, but that's a decision you have to make. I know it's tough, Jessica, but that's part of intentional living is really asking the question, what is God's intention? And God's intention is for parents to raise responsible adults. To have a backbone as a parent sometimes requires us to be tough. Sometimes it requires us to be tender, right? And it can go either way. It's a decision we have to make. All right, phone lines up now at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 over to Pam in Georgia. Hi, Pam. How are you today?
Hey, Dr. Randy. I'm good. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing fine. You got, sound like you're in a hollow, vibrating room of some sort.
Let me take you off speaker.
Oh, yes, please.
I'm driving. Oh. And I didn't want to come through because...
Why don't you do this, Pam? I want you to be safe. Why don't you pull over and find a nice safe spot so we can talk because... I get you put on speaker, but it's hard to listen to. All right. I'll tell you what. You do that. We'll take a break. We'll be back. You can join us. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
We also believe that success is measured by direction, not by wealth. Success is measured by asking the right questions. And not always appearing to be right. By doing the next right one thing and not by staying busy. By taking personal responsibility and not blaming others. It's the direction of our life. Every day needs to be filled with one goal, at least one thing. And I put my little wristband on again this morning that says one thing. And as I do, I pause briefly, just long enough to think about what one thing today is kind of at the top of the list. What one thing today would help me be most successful in what God has given me in my work or my family? And if every day is filled with at least one thing, it'll be transformational in your life. You know, that's a powerful thing, and that's one of the four principles and teachings and direction for intentional living is the power of one thing. And I'm looking at my list. I got a bunch of things I'm going on today. I mean, I wrote down everything. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. About 12 things here. I'm checking them off. See that, Jennifer? I'm crossing them off. But you know, as I look at this list, there's one thing that kind of percolates to the surface. And I think in most of our lives, we're going to have a list of 5, 6, 8, 10 things to do every day. That's just part of life, and that's good. Some of these things are just things you do every day, right? But then there should be on your list every day one thing that's kind of moving you forward in your life, something for tomorrow, something for the future, something that's saying, hey, I want to invest into something today that makes my life stronger, better, closer to Christ, bringing Him glory, benefit to us, that'll make us stronger tomorrow. And that's really the key. And that's true in parenting as well. What one thing could you do today as a parent that would make the single biggest difference in the future for your kids, for your life? 888-888-1717. What's your question for me today?
I was calling because I have two teenagers, 13 and 16, and they are both boys. I'm a single mother. They do not see their fathers. I know that I'm a Christian. I was raised a Christian, and I'm trying to start walking with the Lord again. And I just want to know how to make this interesting for the children where they do know Christ and we do pray, but now I'm wanting to definitely be intentional with this in my life and theirs, have them start doing devotions and stuff with me every day, and I just want to know how to get them more interested in that.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to push a button, make our kids interested in things that we want them to be interested in, and especially the spiritual things. In your case, coming to a new decision in your relationship with Christ and wanting to grow. Yeah, my encouragement would be, don't preach your kids. You're not at your kids. You're not a Holy Spirit. We've talked about that before. And just live your life. And just let them see the joy of the Lord. Let them see what God's doing in your life and slip them those little advertisements from moment to moment about what's happening in your life, and then pray for them. Okay. And don't expect that they're going to be where you want them to be spiritually. Let God do His work. All right. Pam, are you off the road and ready to talk?
Yes.
All right. Safer for everybody.
Yes, I am.
All right. Go right ahead. Yes, what's your question?
Well, I have an 11-year-old. I'm a single mother, and I'm 63. I've had her since she was 3 months old, and I've adopted her. And she is so defiant. I mean, I'm doing all the right things. We're very involved in church. We do evening devotions. I try to hear her, but she's also ADHD. And we just seem to butt heads. And I just don't know if there's something. I've read every book. I'm reading Triggers right now. I am desperate to know how to reach her.
Give me an example of something you guys are butting heads over.
Well, it's everything, like getting up in the mornings, brushing your teeth, disrespectful talk, wanting to stay on an electronic device all the time. She doesn't do anything bad on it, but she doesn't have any friends near her.
So what do you do, Pam, when she's disrespectful to you? Or what do you do when she doesn't brush her teeth or get dressed or get up on time or get the score, whatever? What do you do specifically?
Well, quite honestly, I had been doing a lot of screaming and yelling, but the Holy Spirit's working on me in that. I'm trying to not do that.
But you're still doing it.
Unfortunately, I was raised that.
Yeah, okay.
Not near as much.
right.
Not near as much. It creeps out here and there, Dr. Randy. I won't lie. It does creep out.
You know, I live that little, I love that little verse in Ecclesiastes that says, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. And your child's being foolish. Yes. I mean, she's just being foolish, bottom line. I mean, the way she's trying to live. But I'll tell you what, kids tend to mimic, they become what they see. And if she's seen yelling and disrespect toward her with your words, she's going to give it back to you. My encouragement to you, first of all, God bless you. You've stepped in. You're raising this young girl with so much potential for the future, and yet you're at almost retirement age here in your own life. I would encourage you to just be honest with her and say, honey, I probably yelled too much, but things are different now. I'm getting intentional, and when I say something, I'm going to follow through, and I don't want to argue about things. You have to have clear expectations. If she doesn't get up, let me give an example. If she doesn't get up in the morning, at what point do you say, here's an alarm clock, and I'm not going to remind you, you can get yourself up. And if you're late to school, you're going to have to go tell the principal why you're late, because I'm not giving you a letter.
Well, unfortunately, I tried that, and then I got in trouble for her being late.
How did you get in trouble? You should go to the principal and say, look, I'm trying to discipline my daughter.
I did.
All right. Well, then that's not good. The school should be an ally in helping you. I understand they can't babysit every child, but if you go in and say, look, I'm not going to remind her when she shows up. Put her in detention. Deal with what you need to deal with in school, because she's late at your place and I'm tired of having to remind her five times. And if she doesn't brush her teeth, there's an example. I mean, there's a consequence for that. Honey, your teeth are going to fall out. I mean, that's a decision you want to make at 11. That's not a good plan. And I would even say this, if she's being disrespectful to you at 11 years old and the next time she wants to get on her little digital device, I'd take it away. And when she says, why'd you do that? I'd say, because listen, when I talk to you about things and you're disrespectful back to me, I don't know how to trust you what you're doing on there. Obviously, I don't know what's going on. And until we can have a more respectful communication, this device is gone, and lock it up. And I've heard you say, well, I do that. But the thing is, you got to continue to do it. Because kids can have a stronger will to hang in there than you do, and they can break you in terms of saying, hey, I know if I hang in there, she's going to give up on this and give it back. And to be intentional means I'm going to hold my child accountable, period. Not easy to do sometimes. All right, Pam, God bless you. Appreciate it. Melissa is in Arizona. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your take today or your question?
So, I'm a mom of nine, and it's a long story.
Wait a minute, mom of nine. Did you say nine kids?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I have ranging from 32 years old down to 3 years old. I'm also a grandmother of seven. My 27-year-old daughter's husband left her and her three children. She moved back in, so now I have my five youngers at home and my 27-year-old daughter and her three littles at home. She lives a different lifestyle. That's, you know, I try to raise them the right way. I was hoping they would follow in the word of the Lord, because that's how I was raised. That's how I raised my older children. I'm raising my youngers. She, when I ask her to help clean up after her children, she yells at me and screams at me. And my home, which I pay the bills, she doesn't pay the bills. And she tells me she's an adult. I don't need to tell her what to do. I don't need to remind her. I don't need to tell her to pick up stuff. She'll pick it up and fix it up. I have three out of my five that are home are special needs. I have autism, nonverbal. I have one with cerebral palsy. She's in a chair. She can't walk. So I have a lot going on, and I don't want them to get hurt because they're tripping over something, or one can't get through because of her wheelchair. And so when I asked her to clean up, she screams, yells, and curses at me. And then when I tell her, you know what, don't talk to me like that. Please go to your room. She's like, I'm an adult. You can't tell me.
Melissa, you hear yourself? Melissa, do you hear yourself? What do you know you need to do? What do you know in your heart of hearts needs to happen here?
I need to let her grow up and tell her you need to take care of your kids and you need to be on your own and not mom be taking care of you.
All right. See, what you said earlier is I got 9 kids, 27-year-old, comes back with her kids, wants to be treated like she's not 27, but 7, yells and screams at you, and you know what you need to do. And I think this is a lot of, let's face it, most of the things in parenting, or at least a lot of them, we know what we need to do. We just don't want to do it. It's hard. It's difficult. It involves relationships and kids and all these kinds of things. But one of the questions I ask parents we need to ask ourselves is this. In the long term, am I doing my son or daughter a favor by allowing them to be disrespectful of me and our home and our values? Am I doing them a favor to think that they can treat a future spouse, people they work with, the next door neighbor? There's a point where we say, you know, I'm not doing my kids a favor, and I have to suck it up and hold them accountable. Now, that sounds like, why is that so difficult for you to say to your daughter, honey, I love you, but we're done with this. There's the door.
Because I have told her that if she continues that she has to leave, and her exact words are, well, you'll never see your grandkids again. And that's what's hard for me is because I helped with them and she helped her bring 2 of them home from the hospital and I've been there. So that's what's hard for me is that, but I don't want them, my grandchildren, to suffer and not be able to see because they're growing up with their aunts and uncles because they're around their age. And I don't want not only them to suffer, but my children to suffer at home.
Let me ask you a question.
They did something wrong.
Does your 27-year-old daughter have some place to really go? Is she on her own, capable, financial, all those kinds of things? Could she move out and do this or not?
She could move out and do this on her own. She does have a very good paying job. She does have, and she has another parent because her father and I are no longer together. But, you know, we both remember, she has him that will do things for her. If I don't do it, she goes to him and he does it for her.
Why do you think she feels liberty to speak to you this way?
Because she says that she didn't want me to have the younger kids and that I took a, she's jealous of them. So I think that's why she thinks it's okay, because she tells me, I didn't tell you to adopt those kids, or I didn't tell you to bring those kids into this world.
Oh.
Why are you trying to treat me?
So this is a relationship issue between you and your daughter. By the way, I've heard that before. If you do this, I'm going to do this back, and you kind of feel like a hostage. You're being trapped. Well, I think everybody listening, probably most people are raising their hand and saying, hey, you're going to have to deal with this in a loving but firm way. You got to be intentional. But I think there's an issue, too, of saying, what's going on with me and my daughter? She's angry about some things here. 9 kids, adoptive, how she fit in. I'm wondering if she talked to someone about what's going on in her own life, if she's really struggling and could use some help herself to talk to someone to process some things, to deal with it for her own health. And if that were something that you and your daughter could do together, to get to a counselor and just say, hey, let's just lay some stuff out on the table. Here's what's going on, and talk about it. Maybe you could improve your relationship. But at the same point, when it comes to our own family, our own home, you have some really practical concerns that you've raised with your children and special needs and so on. And no matter what your daughter's experiencing, we still have to have a home that runs with some order, and there has to be cooperation and not chaos. And so I would encourage you to look at both, set some limits, and then follow through. But really ask your daughter, would you be willing to sit down with a counselor? I'd like to really understand what you're feeling and not take it all personally, but to try to understand what's going on with my 27-year-old daughter that might help me have a better relationship with her. I'm a busy person with lots of things to do on my to-do list today. Some of what I do may even please God and serve others, but I go about my daily life without really having clear understanding of my life's direction or my purpose concerning, and you fill in the blank. I do lots of good things, but without adequate clarity. I'm busy, but without clear goals for my life or my health or my family. Sometimes I try too hard to measure up to what others expect of me, but I realize that's the wrong yardstick. If you relate to those statements, you're living an unintentional life. Intentional Living Can Change Your Life. That's our featured lesson this month from our Intentional Living Educational Center here online. And you all are listening to it and viewing it and hopefully finding some help from that and what's in our archives with our teaching from Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Ministry. We're part of Family Life Radio, Intentional Life Media. And I have to tell you, in this day and age, we have to speak the truth in love. We want the best for you guys. And I encourage you, if you're really struggling, maybe take some of the things we share on the radio and say, hey, I'm going to take it to my counselor, to my pastor, and see if they can add to this and have a strategy, a plan. But at the end of the day, make a decision. Number two is discover what God's word says. Discover his intention for your life. When you do that, that's powerful.
I have a 26-year-old daughter who has been living with me for about 6 years now. She's a college graduate, has a major in biology, is incredibly responsible with money, and actually has saved a significant amount of money just by living with me. However, she is not responsible at home, doesn't help with chores, has a small dog, and doesn't take responsibility for his care and leaves much of his care to me. And I just feel like in my helping her through these years, I don't charge her rent, but recently I've insisted that she gives me some money to help with household expenses. I feel like I have, and I'm hurting myself because I emotionally don't have peace in my own house, and I just feel like she needs to find her own place because I can't encourage her to take responsibility in helping out at home. But even so, it's like I feel wrong in insisting she gets her own place. So I'm not sure, just where on the spectrum I need to be, spiritually about that situation. And her job is really not very stable, but she uses that also as an excuse not to aggressively look for another job. It would really help me to have some feedback. Thank you.
All right. Only about 15 seconds, enough to say you and your daughter need to come to an agreement and you need to hold her accountable. Set the boundaries and hold her accountable. That's what Intentional Living is all about. Hey, we got to run, but I'll tell you what, we're going to record some more right now going off the air on parenting. If you have a question, give me a call, 888-888-1717, and we'll hear them tomorrow. All right? 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We'll see you then.